Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to look into your word. Lord, I just ask you to be with me and help me. Lord, it's in Jesus' name I pray, amen. You know, usually whenever I get up here, there's somebody I'm wanting to teach something. But you know, this sermon is pretty much just for me. It's something I think about all the time. But it's something that I come up so short on it. It's amazing. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. You know, it's funny how few times I've heard this and what a big deal it is. He said in verse 35, he said, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned." You know, I talk way too much. And my words ain't always edifying, I'll tell you. And there's not a day goes by, if I even think about God, that I don't go, "Oh," you know? Because, you know, the thing is, we feel like that this is our world. But it's not. This is just a gift. God's put us in His world. And He's given us a couple of rules. Love God, love our neighbor. And then He's left it up to us. And He's here to teach us anything we want to learn. Those people He's talking to, the church people, they said, "Master, we would see a sign from you." And He said, "It's an evil and adulterous generation that seeks after a sign. There shall no sign be given it but the sign of the prophet Jonas." He said, "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." He said, "The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here." Well, that was a mouthful. He said, "The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she shall come forth, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." You know, a greater than Solomon is here. We got the Word of God right here. We got Jesus at our fingertips. And, you know, I heard a sermon the other day. Guy said, "Let's just picture Judgment Day." He said, "You go into a theater and they play your life. Everything you said, everything you've done. And you sit and you watch it. And then they bring in all the people that you knew and they watch it with you." And I mean, that's what I want us to dwell on, you know? Because the difference in us and God is there's been a few people that have touched me in my life. I mean, they touched me deeply. And, you know, family and friends, and just every now and then you just meet somebody that just touches you. But it ain't like that with God. He feels that way about everybody. I mean, they are so special to Him that there's no way we can fathom it. He created them. He planned them out. He picked out everything they was going to be before they was ever born. And it's so wild. We look at our bodies and God says that you know, everything is put in the right place. You know, it's like our fingers are where they should be. Our nose is where it should be. You know, I mean, nobody's going to use their nose for a finger, you know. But, I mean, elephants do it and it's the coolest thing in the world. I mean, God has... His wisdom is shown, and His creativity and His planning through nature. It just blows my mind. And, you know, everybody in your life has been planned out just like He planned their bodies out. Because If they're saved, they're in the body of Christ, and they are put specifically where they need to be at such a time that they need to be there for people that need them there. And they ain't no accidents. Them guys didn't just come in there to irritate you for no reason. Even though that's the way we feel.
Amen.
And when Jesus said, "What you do unto the least of these, you done them unto me." That's the thing that strikes me the most, because I treat people just like I want to. And then when I'm away from them, I remember, wait a minute. I'm treating God like that. And you know, it's so easy for me to get caught. I get so caught up in doing things. I just like to get things done. But you know, God was He's interested in the harvest. That's what He's after. And the coolest thing about it to me is that God said, He said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He may send forth laborers." He invited us to get involved with God winning souls. He don't want to do it by Himself. He wants us with Him. He wants to be with us. And it's amazing how important it is to Him, but He leaves it up to us. But the thing that gets me about the cross is, you know, the biggest problem that I have in my life is I fear that God doesn't love me. I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but that's what drove me to this book to start with. I wanted to know if He did or not. And you know, there is nothing that He can do that's going to show me that He loves me short of giving something up that's important. And He went all the way. He went as far as He could go. He said, "This is how much I love you." And you know, the Bible says that's what leads people to repentance. I remember I met this old boy, and he's got tattoos all over him. He's a big old humongous boy, you know. I mean, he's a scary guy. And he was sitting there talking with somebody else about the next tattoo he's going to get. You know, I told him, I said, "You know, God don't like tattoos. What do you think God thinks about that?" And he said, "Well, I reckon God don't care." I said, "I reckon He does." I said, "He cares about all this stuff. It's a big deal." And we about had it out there, you know. And I was trying to get the guy to understand that he didn't know anything about what God wanted. Therefore, he wasn't where he needed to be in this world, because it's important knowing. I mean, you know, that's what matters. That was many years ago, you know, but it's funny. You know, the efforts that I've made to try to win people to Jesus, you know. But bottom line is, that ain't the way God works. The way He works is He loves us. And He's patient with us. And, you know, every one of us are precious to Him. You know, there's so many people that don't know that. I'm around people all the time that don't know how precious they are to God. They don't have no idea. And they live in this world where there's a Bible right there next to them. But the devil don't want them to read it. What the devil wants to do is he wants to keep them away from the knowledge of the love of God, so they won't be rooted and grounded in love, because that's what it takes to have the confidence to go out in this world and love people when they don't love you back. That's what Jesus said. He says, "You go out there and you love those that mistreat you." How are you going to do that? You're going to do it because you know that God loves you. Whenever you read about David in that 51st Psalm, you know, he was so guilty for killing that fine soldier of the Lord, you know. And I want to read you what he says in here, you know. It's pretty cool the way Nathan did it. He just come in there and told him what it was, and he left. He's like, "You're the one, buddy." And he just left him to stew there, you know. He told him he wasn't going to die. But you know, David comes to God and he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness." See, he knew how God was. "According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. You know, David in the Psalms, he talks about how he don't rejoice whenever his enemy falls. And he talks about his enemies, how they rejoice whenever he has trouble. And you know, the bottom line is, David, he had his faults, but he was close to God. And he knew what God was thinking. He knew who God was. And he knew when he killed that fine soldier of God that he killed something that God put here. A finest soldier has ever lived. And he took his life off this earth. And he took God's man. I mean, what he did unto him, he did it unto Jesus. That's what I'm saying. And he knew that. And that's what we got to know. And the only thing I know to do is we got to stay close to this book. I've been getting farther and farther away from this book for a while, but you know, whenever you go out there and you mess up and you feel bad about it like David did, and you go back and you repent and you change your way, and God washes you thoroughly and cleans you up from your sin, the damage is still done. That's the thing. The boy was still dead. His son still died. His son came and ran him out of the king, out of the palace. And he had all kind of terrible things happen in his family. And the sword never left his house. The man lived with this till he died. And it was not a big period in his life. He just stayed at the house when he ought to have been to war. And he just hung out there and seen something on the roof that he shouldn't have been looking at. And he let his mind go places it shouldn't go. He wasn't satisfied with what God had given him. And Nathan said, you know what? I give you this and I give you this, and I took that from him and give it to you, and I did this and I did that, and I would have done so much more. What I want us to dwell on is that God has put us here not to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, but to enjoy the spot He's put us in. It's a special spot. It's the only spot that's ever going to be offered to you or anybody in that spot ever in eternity, from beginning to end. You are here for this time. And what gets me when he says the Queen of Sheba, how she went and she made that big long trip to find out wisdom. And the Bible tells us to seek out wisdom and all those things. What gets me about it is that, you know, those people, they didn't live like we live. I mean, they're going to ride on Judgment Day. You're going to have people from the whole world. People who lived in caves. I mean, I sit and read about the Israelites and I'm like, man, these people, they was fickle. But you know what? They lived in a tent. That's what they lived in. Me and Stacy went and spent the night in the tent one time. We wasn't friends after that, you know, for a while. One night, it rained. That's all it takes. You know, Harlan told me that you're supposed to put like this little stuff down the seams to keep it from leaking. It comes with the tent. We didn't need that stuff, you know. But the truth is, tents are horrible. You know, when they got done with their camping excursion, they didn't go to the house, take a shower, get in the bed, say, whew, I'm glad I'm here. They stayed in the tent the next night. And then whenever God said the clouds started moving, they moved. They pulled up their stakes, they say, you know. And that's just the kind of, if you look through this book, if you look through just go back to my grandparents' age. Those people were men. I mean, they grew up, they didn't turn on the faucet for what they wanted. They went and packed it in there just like the Africans that I helped in Africa. Those people, they earned what they had and they appreciated it so much more than we do. And you know, when I look at Judgment Day And I think about what I've done with the opportunities that God has presented me. I mean, I can get on the phone and call people in China and make their day. That's crazy. I sent my brother-in-law a picture of what we're doing on the farm in China, and 2 seconds later, he's like, man, that's cool, you know? I mean, we got opportunities they never had. They didn't just go in there and say, you know what, I'll take a King James Bible with large print. That ain't how they done it. They had to go and hunt for it. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to want to know what's important enough to dig for it. But we get caught up in all these things that we got. And the next thing you know, we went through the day and we ain't helped a soul but ourselves. And we're complaining at that. That's the thing that kills me. I mean, that old boy come in there, that I can't think of the guy's name that David killed, the Hittite guy, but anyway, he came in there and he wouldn't even sleep in his bed because he's like, the soldiers for the Lord, they're sleeping out there on the ground. He was a man is what he was. I'm telling you what, if I get a chance to sleep in the bed, I'm sleeping in the bed. That's because I'm soft. That's what it is. And, you know, I get a little pain, I take ibuprofen. You know, I mean, there's stuff here that's just at our fingertips. And what kills me is how that we complain. And we're sitting here with what we have, what I have especially. And I complain, and all around these people that has less opportunity, has less everything. People that are suffering. And I mean, there's never going to be a time when people aren't suffering. Like the people up the road that their house burned down. Here it is Christmas time. I mean, that thing's completely ruined. Everything they got. And I still haven't reached out to them. And I know them well. I just, you know, I'm thinking they're busy. And, you know, I mean, they got all this stuff going on. And I don't want to... Well, you know, the bottom line is when I was driving down the road today and I seen them there, I should have stopped in there. You know, it's funny how Jesus told that story about the Good Samaritan, how the preacher went on by. Ain't that funny how that is? That sorriness is what it is. And Jesus wanted to point it out. Because the other guy, he done something about it. And that's what we're here for. And God wants us. He wants us to live in such a way that when we meet people and we deal with people, that they believe that God loved them that much. That's what we got to do. And I'm going to tell you what, that ain't easy for Montgomery, but it's my job. And it amazes me how little I focus on it. But if we don't love people that's unlovable, they ain't going to believe God loves them. They got to have something where they can see besides nature, that they can see what the love of God is like. And the love of God is to the death. That's what it's like. You know, I don't think about this like I should, but the Bible says that it's in Hebrews. It's appointed unto a man once to die, and after this the judgment. We're all going to judgment day. And that's something we should be looking forward to. We should have something to take to the King. You know, something big. We should have a sacrifice that cost us something. I mean, Jesus is sitting out there and He wants us to know the opportunities that we have. So He used everything. What's cool to me is that God made this world just so He could use it to show us stuff. This is what I'm like, water. The gospel's like, it's like a little seed. Now look at this big tree. He just took the whole world and made it. And then He used it. But the thing is, He's sitting there with all these people that are like us. They got opportunity to do something. And they're doing it. There's this little old woman ain't got nothing. They say a mite or two mites or whatever she put in this. It's way less than a penny. But anyway, she put this little bit in there. And He said, look at that one there. She put in all she had. She did more than all these other ones that's putting all this stuff out of their abundance because she put it all in there. And He was using money as a picture. It's not necessarily about money, but I'm going to tell you what, it's a lot about money. You see where a man's pocketbook goes, that's where he's going, that's what's important to him. You know what, I'm spending a whole lot of money on a lot of stuff that ain't helping God's cause none. But, like I said, it ain't all about money. What it's about is, He wants us to see that it don't matter who we are, where we are, that He sees our efforts. And when we give Him everything, He's going to say, I mean, this is what it's all about. This woman is sitting here, she's just doing her thing. And Jesus calls it out and says, look, she's done more than everybody in here. That's what's going to happen one of these days for some of us. It ain't going to happen for me unless I change my ways. But I'm just saying, we have an opportunity now to make something out of ourselves. Where we can stand up on Judgment Day and not feel like the sorriest society that ever lived. And I tell you, we got too much. And it's making us soft. And it's making us worry more. It's funny, the more you got, the more you complain. It's amazing when really terrible things happen, how we kind of take the other view. And when you got everything, and somebody, they don't bring your coffee when you're expecting it, all of a sudden, you've been mistreated. But you know, we kind of got to keep this thing in perspective here. You know, if we got our health and we got food and raiment, we should be there with content, the Bible says. But it's something we got to learn. It took Paul a long time to learn it, and it's taken me a long time. But anyway, the Bible says that a wise man's mouth speaks of judgment. And I think that's something we need to think about more and talk about more, because this is such a short trip. And it's the opportunity that it presents, I don't think any of us think about a tenth as much as we should. And the vastness, the hugeness of the rest of us, of our lives, of eternity, I know none of us thinks about like we should. But this is an opportunity that there's a lot of aborted babies never have. This is an opportunity that so many people never get. There's so many people that lived on this earth, no telling how many that never heard of the gospel, never heard of Jesus. I mean, before Jesus came, they didn't have a tenth the opportunity that they have now, that they had when Jesus came. It's like when Jesus came, everything switched. And it's like, now, you people are more, you're more accountable. Because you know the gospel now. You know what happened. These other people, the Bible talks about in Revelation how He'll deceive the nations no more. Those poor people lived in a dark, deceived world where they really did believe that Baal was a god, and that all these crazy things were gods that were just something they made with their hands. They believed that. And they'd go out there and do all kinds of crazy stuff. But they were deceived. The devil can't deceive the nations no more. We have the gospel. We have the authority of the Word of God. And it's a lot bigger than we can imagine. And the big thing is the biggest failing I feel like I have, and I feel like we're all pretty much similar in this, is that God has put me here like He's placed me here. Like my dad, I just throw stuff down. Dad would lay stuff down where he goes. It's crazy how he would do it. He would look at it and he would sit it down. He put it exactly where he wanted it. And if somebody moved it, his world was upside down. He's like, you know, you're just like your mother. You don't know, your mind don't know what your hands are doing. I just drop stuff, you know. But God don't just drop stuff. He puts us where we can be the most effective. He makes us where we could have the most effect. It's crazy how He plans this stuff out. And we just run on and do it our way. But if we take what He's given us and we use it for Him, He's going to multiply it like we can't imagine. He's going to take our little efforts and He's going to make big stuff out of them. God does big stuff. He don't do little stuff. I just want us to be mindful of the people. Because if we want to do something for Jesus, now's our chance. He's here amongst us. He's always amongst us. I appreciate y'all coming out tonight.